ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hey, Jules and Jez here. Join us as we unpack the news of the week on Not Stupid.
Greenland is depicted the same size as Africa, but Africa is 14 times the size.
A lot bigger than the Mercator map shows.
And I wonder if Donald Trump knows that Greenland is not that big.
You can find Not Stupid on the ABC Listen app.
Today, the Australian people have voted for Australian values.
Government is always formed in the sense of the centre, but our Liberal Party reflects a range of views.
Politics is the brutal game of arithmetic, but no one's going to vote for you if you don't stand for something.
We've always been about the planet, but we've got to make sure that people have their daily needs met.
People are starting to see that there is actually a different way of doing politics.
Hello and welcome to The Party Room. I'm Patricia Carvelis, joining you from Wurundjeri country in Melbourne.
And I'm Fran Kelly on the Gadigal land of the Eora Nation here in Sydney. And PK, it seems like just yesterday. In fact, it was just yesterday. I'm sure our loyal Party Roomers noticed that with all that fast-breaking news about the coalition split yesterday, not to mention the alarm bells, literally alarm bells ringing at Parley House during the recording yesterday, we couldn't fit in question time. So we thought we'd just jump into a studio for a bonus question time today. But before we do, I think we should maybe mop up quickly the developments of the coalition split overnight and this morning, because there's been ever more happening, right?
How big's your mop? You need a big mop.
The bucket. It's the bucket, mate.
Mate, you need it all, and the water, if I can just really painfully push this analogy. The water is dirty and
muddy,
full of trouble. Yep. Okay, so here I go. Since Thursday's episode, we obviously dug into the national splitting from the coalition. Just to give you some sort of sense of what the Nationals doing wall-to-wall media about why they decided Susan Lee is the worst. It's sort of the breakup you kind of have in grade six when you're in this cool group and then, I don't know, maybe this happened to me, and then you're kicked out for some reason and then
did that happen
starts
to you?
Yeah, it did once.
Aww. I'm sorry. Kids can be so cruel, right?
Oh, they can, but that's another podcast, isn't it? Because people are going to start writing to me, are you okay today, PK?
Are you okay?
I am okay, but like that's how I'm trying to make the point about how immature it was. So in the PM's office, they were tallying, just to give you a sense, they were tallying just how many times Nationals MPs were taking interviews to explain how much they hated or thought Susan Lee was bad on the National Day of Mourning. And why did they do that? Because they wanted to make the point that these guys have lost their marbles and how much they're shambolic. Susan Lee did not do any media yesterday. Out of respect for the National Day of Mourning, as I said yesterday, I think an incredibly wise decision.
On several fronts.
So many reasons, right? Mainly respect. But secondly, read the room. She read the room. People didn't want to hear from her yesterday. I mean, journos always want to talk to everyone, don't get me wrong. But you know what I'm saying. Yeah. It wasn't appropriate. So now she's broken her silence, Fran, and she is defiant.
Will you survive as leader?
Yes, I will, but I want Australians to know that what we did this week that caused the subject matter of the headlines was to work hard to address and have the reckoning this country needs to on eradicating anti-Semitism and removing radical Islamic extremism. So the Liberal Party voted for that this week, and we're proud of that. And
just give me a sense of where it's at now.
Well, I mean, you know, what else can she say? Yeah, she says she will be there. She's still got the support of the Party Room. But, of course, she's not in control of that, PK. I mean, the Party Room will decide that. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, she's had a range of moderate allies out this morning, moderate Liberals, doing the media rounds, suggesting that Susan Lee is their leader and they have full faith in Susan Lee. But then they would say that, wouldn't they? Others in a Party Room are privately briefing, as you suggested yesterday and more so overnight. There is no way she can hang on to her leadership after this split. One of her senators, Senator Jacinta Numpa-Jimpa-Price, has said publicly, and she said this before, but she said it again on national TV, that she's not a fan of Susan Lee and her leadership. She's lost faith in her leader. So, you know, all sorts of things happening, and maybe you've got more to tell us about that. But I think Susan Lee today, as she broke her silence, made a fair case of the pressure she put on the Prime Minister over the summer following the horrible events of Bondi. But, you know, that's all very well. Look how it's ended this week, with the PM getting his laws through and the coalition in chaos. So I don't think that argument's going to help him much. There are reports, we've been hearing it reported, that Nationals leader David Littleproud called Susan Lee on Wednesday night, was screaming down the phone at her. You know, this would demonstrate the extent of the breakdown. Susan Lee wouldn't detail that publicly. David Littleproud's denied it. But look, it's been on display, and we talked about that a lot yesterday. The total extent of David Littleproud and the Nationals, not just distrust in Susan Lee, dislike of Susan Lee, and pinning her completely for the what he calls the breakdown in the coalitions.
Susan Lee broke the coalition when she accepted those three resignations. We didn't have to get to this juncture.
He's laying the blame squarely at her feet. He's not shutting the door to an eventual return, but he's suggesting they need some time apart. But, you know, PK, that's that. I'm interested in what happens now. On the pod on Thursday and in the column you wrote, both Susan Lee and David Littleproud are effectively on life support within their parties. It doesn't look good for either of them. Labor was very quick to make hay with that. The Treasurer, Jim Chalmers, asking, well, who else do the Liberals have to do the job?
Our political opponents in the former coalition are divided, they're divisive, and they're dysfunctional. And for all of those reasons, we know that Susan Lee's days as opposition leader are numbered. But to be fair to her, all of the alternatives in the coalition or the former coalition are worse. You know, Angus Taylor's the guy that took to an election a policy for higher income taxes and bigger deficits as shadow treasurer. Ted O'Brien wanted to borrow hundreds of billions of dollars to build seven nuclear reactors and push energy prices up. Andrew Hastie makes Tony Abbott look like a sensible moderate. And so it's slim pickings in the coalition.
And at the moment, with the polls like they are, who would want to?
Who would want to? Okay, what a question. I love this one. Out of all the things people say, it's always, you know, who would want the job? You know what? In politics, even the worst job, people always want to do. That's like,
they've all
so
got
who would want
a baton in their knapsack.
Yeah. That's always the case. Okay, so this is how I see it after, you know, like doing quite a lot of work on this. I'm sort of full throttle on it at the moment, right? Susan Lee's leadership is over. Now, I know that's sort of counterintuitive or like sort of counter to what some people are saying or what she's saying or what some of the moderates
saying.
Are publicly saying as well. But even the moderates are sort of aware that her time is coming to a close. Now, how they do it, how they blast her out, because I think they'll need to blast her out now, is the more complicated thing. It's complicated because in the Liberal ranks, particularly moderates, but even the Conservatives have told me, they are aware that they do not want to look like they're rolling their leader to respond to the bad behaviour, as they see it, of David Littleproud, right? Like the optics of that are quite bad. You can imagine her press conference, or what I would say if I was her, if that was to happen, which is, are we now following David Littleproud's demands, are we? Right? Like not a good look, especially when the Liberal Party looks like it's been chasing the Nationals all the time. However, the problems that she's faced have been wider than just this Nationals impasse. They have been building. They were building late last year, remember. There was speculation even then, way before the Bondi happened. In fact, Bondi gave her something.
Yeah.
And some believe.
Yeah,
and
before
I've
then
certainly
she had
spoken
serious
to them.
Missteps to strategic decisions that were being questioned.
There were lots of problems, right? So you can't say that she's, you know, been fantastic in the role. There's been lots of criticism of her. So now it's about the mechanism. Now, I've spoken to people who say it will happen. They believe in the first couple of weeks we're back, and that's sort of the first week of February, there will be a spill that, you know, opens up the leadership. Now, you know what? I think, will Susan Lee put her hand up just to make the point? Well, not if she knows some of her numbers have evaporated, particularly among the moderates, because the numbers are so tenuous. Which brings me to the two candidates, Angus Taylor, who's sort of a capital C conservative, and Andrew Hastie, who is almost like sort of the sort of the radical option. And I use the word radical in a pretty loose way. What I'm saying is he's been outlining a vision which is very different to the sort of small government approach of his predecessors. It's a much more interventionist, populist model. And I just spoke to somebody who really knows stuff, and I said, my take so far is probably Angus Taylor has the numbers, and this person who really knows stuff said to me, it's actually kind of split. So right now, the Conservatives, the right of the Liberal Party, has to come to a consensus position unless they have a very bloody ugly fight. And that consensus position, whether it's Angus or Andrew Hastie, has not been come to yet, Fran.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot to play out.
Yeah, it's going to be a battle royale. And look, and then there's the question of what are they really fighting about? Are they fighting about the right thing here? I just want to point to an article in the Sydney Morning Herald yesterday, I think it was, by Rob Harris. I think he had a really good take on this split and what it's about. He said, you know, it's not really about freedom of speech, the laws that this week they were voting on. It's not even about Susan Lee's leadership. It's actually something much bigger, much more existential than that. He says it's, quote, about a coalition that can no longer agree on who it's trying to represent. And PK, that goes to exactly what you've been talking about there, because it's also, I think, about a Liberal Party that no longer agrees on who it's trying to represent. And that's basically, you know, does it need to move to the centre to have any hope of re-election and win back the Till seats, or move further to the right where One Nation is mopping them up, to use that again, and, you know, the polls have suggested that that's very clearly happening. So this is the point they're at. It's basically at the same point they're at when they got so roundly defeated at the last election in that historic loss. And they're no closer to coming together on that in the Liberal Party itself or in the coalition.
By contrast, Fran, the Prime Minister has continued to deliver a message of unity overnight at a national memorial for the 15 people killed in Bondi in that terror attack that we're still trying to understand and just even accept has happened in our country. He said he's deeply and profoundly sorry for not protecting Australia's Jewish community.
You came to celebrate a festival of light and freedom, and you were met with the violence of hatred. I am deeply and profoundly sorry that we could not protect your loved ones from this evil.
Now, that statement was his most full-throated apology. He received rapturous applause, and that's the path back for him, I think. He is essentially, it's a mea culpa. He's breaking bread. He's owning it and trying to move on. And I think that's really, really key and important for him.
Yeah, I mean, he had to do it. He got a round of applause. I think that's notable. The last time he went to a Jewish memorial at the end of last year, he got booed. It's a very different tone. He's got the laws. The Royal Commission's happened. He said sorry. I think he just wants, as we said yesterday, put it to bed. And now, you know, the government will try and move out of the sort of mire that they had over the summer and move forward as a government, which is what, you know, he managed to do during the election campaign so effectively.
Should we start our question time, Fran?
I think we should. Well over time, I reckon.
Questions without notice. Are there any questions?
Members on my right.
Prime Minister has the call.
Thanks very much, Mr. Speaker. Well,
then I give the call to the Honourable, the Leader of the Opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is to the Prime Minister.
The bells are ringing. That means it's time for our question time. And our first question adorably comes from our 7-year-old listener, Mina, whose parent Charlie tells us is a massive fan.
Good morning, PK and Fran. My name is Mina, and I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. My question is, with the national splitting, can they form a coalition with One Nation? Will that set them up for being our opposition? Thanks, love the show.
Okay, Mina, like, can we make Mina Australian of the Year? Like, can we give Mina, not only are you a listener, but you're also 7 and you've also asked a better question than I'm capable of in my 40s. So I'm a bit worried about my own intelligence here, but Mina, beautiful question. And how can anyone be so smart so young? Yes, they could. They absolutely could form like a sort of coalition or an alliance with One Nation. I think right now, just on personalities alone, David Littleproud and Barnaby Joyce, who is now, you know, pretty senior in One Nation, obviously Pauline Hanson is officially still the leader, they can't stand each other. So I cannot see it happening on personalities alone. Another part of it is there are still Nationals who would never want to be in alliance with One Nation. Not many, but there are some. There are others who might think it's an interesting idea. But it is possible, but it would break with what is a very long history, which is that the coalition is the Nationals and the Liberals and their old parties, and they've united to form government for a long time. But it's absolutely possible, Fran.
Absolutely possible. Great question, Mina. And I'm here for Mina for Australian of the Year. Our future is safe, everybody, that's for sure. Mina, we had a similar voice note from another listener, much older than you, Martin, who pointed to, you know, international movements like Nigel Farage's Reform in the UK, which is outpolling the Labour government at the moment, and MAGA in the US, and, you know, that whole popular, particular American style of politics filtering through into politics here at home. Could they win government, which is the end of your question, not just set them up for being in opposition, but, you know, could they win government? Well, I think the whole jury is out on the size of a right of centre block of votes in Australia. I think that's true. But there is another element here about the fracturing of the three parties on the right, you know, the Liberal Party, the National Party and One Nation. And I thought it was really interesting that it's been reported today, as we record this on Friday, that Gina Rinehart, who's a major supporter of Conservative parties in this country, has shifted her support and her money, importantly, behind One Nation. She's always been a very big Barnaby Joyce fan. That's been well documented. And now it's reported she's with this story that she's selling dinner with Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago to several wealthy businessmen for $100,000 a pop, and that money goes directly to One Nation. So this, you know, if the polling didn't instill fear into the hearts of the National Party, this report certainly will, because, you know, follow the money. That's what they say, right?
Really good point, Fran. Okay, our next question comes from our listener, Nathan.
Hey, love the pod. Really keen to hear your thoughts if the Liberal Party and the Nats don't realign again. Do you think there'd be a significant voter swing back into the Liberal Party from the centre that possibly had gone to places like the Teals? Would that be a sustainable position for the future?
Nathan, another good question. You know what they say in Australia, that elections are always won in the centre. Most voters, of course, are in our cities, in our urban centres. So, you know, if you have designs to be the party of government, you really have to be speaking to that central block of votes. But what are they, and are they shifting? Peter Dutton tried to speak to what he called middle Australians on the post-urban fringes, peri-urban fringes. He was convinced that the centre had shifted there to outer suburban Australia and to the regions. Turns out the votes weren't there for the coalition. So again, where is the centre in Australia? That delivered the coalition the worst election defeat in history. Susan Lees promised under her leadership the Liberal Party will, quote, represent, reflect and respect modern Australia. That sounded like a tactic to move to the centre, but as we can see, that's a mighty fight going on in the coalition, and they're split essentially around that at the moment. So the polls suggest that the Libs are losing support, not gaining. They're a shambles. That's not going to help anyone. Meanwhile, the electorate is getting, I think, more and more used to and liking the idea of electing independents and minor parties. The vote we saw at the last election basically split three ways now between the coalition, Labor, and minor parties and independents. So it's not going to be easy for the Liberals to win back those more moderate seats. It turns out, I think people like the idea of being alternative to the two-party system, and that's going to make it, you know, very tough for the Libs to be a party of the centre again, especially if they don't start appealing more to women. And, you know, look, looks like they're just about to dump their first female leader. So
and perhaps move to the right in a more, I mean, you know, they already have been. I think they dumped Net Zero, and that happened under Susan Lee, who said she'd be in the sensible centre because that was where the numbers were at. So, you know, we are kind of in that territory already. And if you look at all of the research, none of that territory is where the sort of bulk of voters are. So this is, you know, this is going to be difficult for them. Look, we've got another question, and it's from Adam. And Adam writes to us, with the coalition splitting up again, how does that impact the LNP Party of Queensland on a federal scale? Are they forced to be another minor party? If it's long term, will they dissolve and split again with MPs choosing a side? You know what? That is a really good question that I'm now going to pursue today, because that is really...
I don't know the answer to that. And Barnaby Joyce raised this, didn't he, in the wake of the split, saying, look, basically the Queensland LNP is a joke. What are they doing combined? What are Liberal Party leaders doing sitting alongside Nats at National Party conferences? It's always been an awkward thing that didn't really make sense. They're one party, but, you know, their National Party members sit in the National Party room and some of the others sit in the Liberal Party room. It's weird and it's awkward. But I don't know the answer about whether they'll split again. I imagine if they're two parties, they're going to have to, aren't they?
Well, like, that's the logic, isn't it? So
I can't even remember why they joined in the first place. I think it was because the Labor vote was so strong, wasn't it? And the One Nation vote was so strong in Queensland, and they needed to get some ballast. And it's worth pointing out, Adam, that actually David Littleproud has been asked about that this morning at a press conference. And his take was, look, this is a quote, it's a state-based party. When we go down there to Canberra, we sit in a different party room. So he didn't think it was any big deal. So
Yeah. Look, I think they're very comfortable in Queensland in their kind of LNP vibe and land. It doesn't mean it doesn't cause any tensions, particularly among moderate Liberals. But... you know, they've found a way, but that this now does complicate things. So I think you're right. I think with your question that it's a real live issue. However, I mean, this might be a temporary split till they spill the next leader and, you know, I don't know.
I think it will be, won't it?
I'm not sure yet, because I think the next Liberal leader, if there is another one, will be under some pressure to ensure that the Nationals don't keep playing these shenanigans and try and sort of... put some pressure on Littleproud, you know, you can't keep doing this.
This is becoming a habit. But they couldn't win the next election if they're not in coalition. They just wouldn't have enough seats, the Liberals, on their own, would they?
No. No. Like, they need to reunite. You're right, pragmatically. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And pragmatism will take over because everyone, you know, like, fixes their backside, don't they? Like, everyone. But... and looks after themselves. But how to get back to that, it's not easy. Like, you know, I think Howard warned about that after the first time. Once you break up, like, it becomes harder. So this is a bigger break than the last one. This is a more significant break, I think. So let's just watch that space.
You're right that both leaders and both party members understand that they've got no hope of winning government back if they don't come together again. But right at the moment, at this point with these two leaders, that ain't going to happen.
Ain't going to happen. Well, that's it for your special bonus edition of The Party Room. Your questions answered. We love your questions. Keep sending them in. You can send us voice notes. Of course, you can write too, but we love the voice notes. You can email us to thepartyroom@abc.net.au.
And, of course, you can follow us always in the Politics Now stream on the ABC Listen app so you never miss an episode. That's it from us for this week, for real this time. But, PK, you'll be back on Monday.
I will be back on Monday with Politics Now, of course. And if you can't wait to see us live and you're a Sydney sider or someone who likes going to Sydney, Fair Day in Sydney on the 15th of February is where we're doing a live show. Fran and I love a bit of live action. It's the closest we get to our dreams of being rock and pop stars. Fran wanted to be a rock star. I wanted to be a pop star. We are now journalists. Pop it into your calendars. See you, Fran.
We're a dynamic duo, though. See you, PK.